Hi, I'm Chris Walker, and it's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 26th of October, 2013, Waiheke Radio's 5th birthday. On Saturday, the 26th of October, I spoke to Andrew, Millie and Peter from the Waiheke Working Sail Project. I spoke with the opinionated islanders Alan Knight and Alex Stone, looking back over 5 years of their opinions on Waiheke issues and events, and we finished up with a live performance in the studio from Waiheke's Katie Soljak. Most of us know that in the in case of emergency, we should have a little box of stuff secreted away, and some of us even have it, some bottled water and a can of baked beans and all the rest of it. But some people are going the extra mile when it comes to being prepared for disaster. And working on a project called the Waiheke Working Sail Project, and here to talk about, we've got Millie and Andrew Watkins, and we've also got And Pete, you need to get a lot closer to the microphone than that.
Alright.
Get right in front of it.
How's that for you?
Hold on, let's turn some things on. There we go, we should have that one, and we should have you now. There we go.
Good as gold.
There we go, we can hear you. So, welcome to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, and you've got two things going on this weekend, haven't you? So we're here to talk about the Waiheke Working Sail Project, but also about the tall ships, which is going on this weekend as well.
Yeah, the tie-in with the tall ships is that really the heart of our working sail project is Bernard Rhodes, who's been building boats his whole life, and one of his projects was to build a one-quarter replica tall ship, and so that one-quarter tall ship is sailing with the big ships, and so it sailed into the harbor yesterday, and so it's berthed at the Maritime Museum. And so Bernard and the two Foster Christie boys, who are also apprentices, are in the over in the middle of it right now. And and this morning at 11:30 there will be there's a man who sings sea shanties who sailed down with them, and he's there singing at 11:30. So there's a lot going down at the wharf, and we're tied into it because the Coriolanus is the first restoration that Bernard did. And what we are looking at now is another restoration, and it's of another historic boat, the Kate, which is 129 years old.
So when people, think of the tall ships, and I saw them myself yesterday coming in from town, and I think it's for a lot of people it's kind of a nostalgic thing, isn't it? Looking and seeing these beautiful constructions from the past and so on. But you're very much thinking about this being something for the future rather than the past.
It's true. There is a worldwide resurgence in sail freight and working sail. So we have coastal shipping going on. On the coastal United States, especially up in Maine, and inland waterways through Lake Champlain down to New York City, actually carrying the goods from up north in the farms down to New York City. And then there's a lot of things happening in the inland waterways throughout the U.S. So there's we're a part of a global effort. Certainly in the Netherlands, it's pretty big. So that's how we felt. We felt that, recreational sailing was really all that we could see around, and we wanted to just put a flag in the sand and start to look at sailing as a utility. And so the Kate is an old vessel that was used to ship goods around the Haraki Gulf, and actually it was out on the West Coast as well. So so that's what we're looking at. It's just starting to aim towards, away from recreational sailing and towards a different way. And so for Waiheke, it means also the development of a shipbuilding mini-industry.
Is there scope for this idea, a working sails and sail freight by sail, to be more than a niche? I can kind of see this fitting into, the person who's got their kind of organic free-range, hand-knitted woolen jersey and wants their free-range organic, wheat and sailed in by sail, and that gives it just that extra degree of right-on-ness. But how do you take it beyond that niche into something which actually is applicable in the modern kind of market?
So I think there is a number of levels to that. I mean, we're very much aware that you can't beat the efficiency and cost effectiveness of diesel fuel when you're shipping things around. And that's going to be the case for a while yet. But the trend is just in one direction, that the fossil fuels are going to get more and more expensive. And people are always going to be looking around for how they can do things more efficiently. Now, at that point, at some point in the future, we'll be looking at sailing vessels or hybrid vessels, if you think of them that way, that are quite efficiently designed and custom purpose built for transferring stuff around. So there'll be the trailer freight devices of the next few decades. But to get to that point, we want to have the skills, the understanding, the talent already developing. So one of the reasons for looking at existing sailing vessels and restoring older ones is because we have a lot of talent on the island, not just Bernard, but a lot of existing sailors and marine architects.
Chief among them, Pete Shearney, who's here with us.
Yeah, Pete's here today. And we're trying to make sure that knowledge doesn't get lost and it gets transferred to the next generation. So if you're going to design the sort of 21st century sailing vessel, then you pretty much had to be able to design a 19th century sailing vessel too, because a lot of the rules haven't changed about the way the water and the wind works.
So talk us through that a bit, Pete. So, you know, you're starting off with old boats rather than starting from scratch. Why go through that route?
One of the main reasons, of course, is financial. Cape became available at a reasonable price, and it was a worthwhile boat to restore, but also the learning, the training of the young guys now. Bernard has two apprentices now, and hopefully as we go down the track, we'll be able to train more people to work in wood, work on boat building, which has the possibility of creating a little niche market on Waiheke for good solid wooden boat builders, because there's not too many of them left anymore. And so this is just also for our long-term plan, which is to be able to carry freight, but also for the community and the young ones. It gives them an interest and hopefully develops a small industry for the island.
So I wonder, there's also, you know, in recent times been a bit of a resurgence of interest in seagoing waka and, you know, Polynesian sailing vessels, you know, and I suppose retracing some of those migration routes across Polynesia and so on. Have you had any kind of tie-in with that or investigated, you know, looking at that kind of Polynesian sailing kind of approach?
Well, anybody who's seen the Bernard's catamaran, the
flying carpet.
The flying carpet will recognize a similarity between that and our waka. It's a two masts either side. It's a very, if you come from a Western sailing convention, it would look quite original and dramatic, but actually if you come from the Polynesian sailing school, I think it has a lot of recognizable stuff in it. And Bernard's got some various ideas about what a major freight vessel would look like, and it would be for carrying freight, but it would also be for training people in tall ship sailing as well. When we first came up with this project, that was the initial ambition, and we did some calculations and we worked out we'd need a couple of million dollars to make that happen. And one of the things with the Kate is to demonstrate for a tenth of that price or 1% of that price that we've actually got the skills and the ambition and the technology to do it on a smaller scale. Hopefully then that will give people the confidence to go, you know, yes, I really want to back this big time.
So where do you go from here? So you've secured a boat. You know, what happens next?
Fundraising. So our first fundraiser is a show at the Waiheke Cinema, and it's happening on the 22nd of November. And so we're selling tickets now. They're available online on the Waiheke Working Sail site, which you can just Google Waiheke Working Sail and get there and order up a ticket, or any of the board members have tickets to sell. And so we'll be doing a gathering at 7 p.m. on the 22nd of November at Artworks, and then an 8 p.m. showing of Master and Commander, which seemed appropriate. And a chance for just briefly to hear from Bernard and also from the two apprentices, because that is the heart of this program, is passing these skills on to the next generation.
Yeah. And so when do you hope that you'll you know, be under sail? You know, wind behind you, heading up the gulf towards the barrier.
How long is a piece of string?
Well, you're the sailor, you should know.
So if somebody gave us $200,000 today,
yeah,
we would probably be able to complete that project within 2 years.
Right.
If you gave us $20,000 today, then we would make a decent amount of progress in that time, and then we'd obviously can run out and then we need to do a bit more. So the project's divided up into achievable chunks, and the first achievable chunk is to get the Kate seaworthy again as a hull. That means replacing various timbers and doing work on the stern. And actually, one of the other little side projects that we've had as part of that is reclaiming wood from the island. So we went on a working bee last month to recover some very nice old tree trunks. They were
Japanese cedar.
Mm. And in the traditional way, because they were up in a coppice on the hill, they were felled and then they were dragged down the hillside to the water and then towed around the island by sea. And now they're sort of being waiting for be prepared into be spars for the project.
You must look back and go, you know, those were the days when the other end of the island was full of trees which were cut down for boat building. I mean, that was part of how the economy on the island started, really, wasn't it?
It's true. I think one of the difficulties of talking about something like going back to working sail is that the infrastructure has gone. All of the infrastructure is set up for making things out of glass fiber, powering things with diesel engines and such like. So you're starting from a low base. But I think we can actually start to work with other groups who are interested in the same sort of long-term goals to say, well, it is worth planting wood for not just for boats, but for on-island carpentry and things like that. You've got projects like the men's shed looking at developing those same sort of skills. So it's gradually, like a little step at a time, trying to build up a wide range of skills and infrastructure that all support the same long-term goals.
Great. Well, good luck with it, and let's hope that someone walks in with $200,000.
You're here.
Yeah. Just before we do go, a couple of $100,000 would be lovely, yes, we'll come on in. But the other thing is we're always looking for good native wood that we can use, copper screws, brass screws. So if anyone's got that type of stuff underneath their house doing nothing, give us a call.
Excellent.
We'd be very interested in it.
And we have on the website the ability to donate. There's a button for Give a Little. And so, you know, whatever people feel moved to give, a one-off or a regular subscription. And there is a wish list on the website so that if people are wondering what they can, you know, what we need, we have it there on the wish list.
It just makes me think of, you know, reading all those books about the early days of, you know, the first kind of European boats coming into New Zealand and the trade for nails and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of hard to escape the romance of it all, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking to Millie, Andrew and Peter from Waiheke Working Sails, so thank you very much for joining us here on our fifth birthday.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
One of the features here of the show, Island Life, is our regular slot, the Opinionated Islanders, and they're with me now, and hold on, we'll just turn on all the mics. There we go, so I think we should have them there.
You got me? Yeah, there we go.
We're good.
That's me.
Alan and Alex, the Opinionated Islanders, and nice to have you along here today, because right back when we started the station, there's a couple of shows which have been with us right from the very beginning. This morning, Saturday's Breakfast, was one of our very first shows, in fact, the very first show to go out on our opening 5 years ago, and then followed up by Island Life, the two shows that have been with us throughout the whole time, and way back at the start, right at the very start, we got put the Opinionated Islanders together. And you've
it's
been
amazing to think
time.
It's been 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've all passed a lot of water under a lot of bridges since
we've
then.
We've spouted for 5 years and we haven't changed the world, or have we?
Well, maybe.
Oh, I feel we have, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, way back when we did this and we put it together, the whole idea was to get together two people who were kind of semi-articulate.
that was a mistake. Yeah, we got the wrong two.
Yeah, we got that wrong. But both kind of used to expressing their opinions in public and had divergent views. So we cast about and we got Alan because, good kind of gun-toting right-wing guy. And,
that's me, yes.
And Alex representing the more kind of liberal green side of the island.
I think Alan's been faking it all along because he's actually quite a reasonable bloke.
So, so since that time, we've been casting, there we go. All right, since that time, we've been casting our eye over what's been happening on the island and, what's going on and sharing your views on it.
What a lot of fun it's been, yes. I mean, occasionally we have had shows where there just wasn't anything happening on the island and we've had to sort of cast our net a little wider and talk about national and international issues, but, things actually going on in New Zealand. But generally, there's always been something to talk about, and it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, now what, 5 years ago, the last community board was still in action on the island. So
that's right, yeah. The super city.
Before the super city, yeah. Yes. That was back in the days when Noble Angelo was on the community board.
Well, one of our consistent themes has been the bemoaning of the loss of eccentrics on the island. You know, there's a lot of people.
Really?
We often talk about Noble Angelo and how we sort of miss him, inverted commas. And, there's also another thing with the island. Like, a lot of people still see the island as a sort of Mike Morgan type of place, but Mike Morgan is no longer on the island, you know.
Well, there will be people around who don't know who you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mike Morgan, the barefooted, leather-clad, heavily bearded painter.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Kind of looked like a garden gnome at a biker rally. Extraordinary guy. Always wore bare feet, on occasions when he had to smarten up, he would simply paint shoes on his feet. Mm. A remarkable guy.
He's living in Waihee now, and I remember him saying he moved there because there was a big long drop in the backyard. But the real reason was much cheaper land, of course. Yeah.
So are there others who have kind of departed the island over the last 5 years that you miss?
Yeah, Joe Waite. I remember old Joe Waite. And then yes. There's Eric the Red.
Eric the Red, yes. Yeah. But I think there is something about this community that whenever we lose an eccentric through, moving away or natural attrition, we do seem to acquire a few more.
Gain a few.
Yeah. There's just something about this place. Eccentrics are going to keep on moving here.
Well, maybe that's our branding our international branding could be, Eccentricity Central.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so many other places have branded themselves as Wedding Islands or Vineyard Islands or Olive. You know, that's all a bit, what's the word for it? It's been done before. But,
I think one of the things that's always going to make this place fairly unique is that unlike other resorts around the country like Queenstown, Wanaka and places like that that get two goes at a tourist season, we only really get the one. And, you can see it outside today.
Yeah, today
it's all
day
starting.
One.
But this is somewhere which really quietens down a lot after Easter. And all of a sudden, the great big Remuera tractors have gone. You walk down the street and you know everybody. Getting around the supermarket takes you twice as long because you're stopping and saying hello to people you know. That sense of community comes back.
Yeah.
No, and I find it's very often it's those times that we've had the most interesting things to talk about because during the summer, the Waiheke community tends to keep its head down. We all find our own little places to spend the summer away from all the noise and bustle. So it's really during the winter that the community actually really starts to communicate with one another, and we find we have more stuff to talk about on the radio.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like we have this unresolved relationship with the visitors. I'm cool with visitors, but I don't know if everyone is, you know. that does a good raspberry.
Yeah, I was actually in the I was in the pharmacy yesterday, and saying to the girl behind the counter, "Yes, you know, here we go. It's tourist season again. Suddenly, all these outsiders are coming in." And this lady standing next to me said, "I'm sorry, I'm one of those. I do hope we don't cause too much of a problem." And I said, "No, look, honestly, I come from the original seaside resort, so I do know the form. And we, of course, we welcome the visitors with their cash, their travelers' checks, and their very many internationally recognised credit cards. Yeah. We have to put up with them. They're to be fleeced."
I think the understanding should be based on the premise that if you come here, you take on our values rather than bring your values. You
know? Yes.
So I must admit, I've written about it a few times in the column about, you know, don't bring road rage or trolley rage in the supermarket. Don't bring it here, because we don't do that here. So I think if we can just keep that message alive, we're cool. You know, you're welcome, but what you're coming to experience is our values, not, don't bring yours. Yeah.
Yes, well, we also had that idea some time back, didn't we, of the television program of the Waiheke Eye for the Auckland guy,
where underdressed down,
where rather smartly dressed city visitors, the kind of people who buy their beachwear from the same outfit as that they buy their business suits, when they turn up at Matiatia, they're sort of descended on by a pack of Waiheke style consultants.
Yeah, we could fix them. Yeah,
who then sort of mock them for the fact that they're smartly dressed and that their clothes actually match and haven't got holes in them. And these people are then bundled into a vehicle and taken on a tour of Waiheke's exciting op shops, where they are then dressed up in third-hand Hawaiian shirts and cut-off jeans
because
and jandals.
That's the one thing you can spot a mile away, is the sartorial accoutrement of the visitor, as well as their vehicular appendages, you know.
Yeah, it's that whole thing of looking smart.
Yeah, which is another thing that's happened to the island, I think, in the last few years, is we used to be sort of agnostic about status, but now there seems to be quite a focus on status on the island. You know, you can see it being talked about a lot. Status matters, you know.
Really? Yeah. I haven't noticed that.
No, within a new element to the island, I would say. The visitors are becoming more and more sort of highfalutin. You see it in this red herring about who takes control of the beaches. You know, the same people that fuss about people from ordinary backgrounds coming to visit our beaches, they get very excited about that. But there seems to be no fuss at all about the proliferation of sea legs on the beaches, because the sea legs represent a sort of level of status, whereas ordinary visitors don't. And the one is good and the one is to be campaigned against. Yeah.
Yes, I noticed the opposition to the Marine Reserve is still going on in the newspapers.
Yeah, bless them.
How much have they spent?
Well, they could have spent that on the research and to find the best place. It could have been a positive approach rather than a negative one, yeah. But anyway, we'll get around that.
So, I mean, you know, when you look back over 5 years, I mean, we've spent a lot of time on local politics. You know, we don't need to relitigate all of that today, but obviously that's been something that, you know, we've talked about quite a lot. But, I mean, what have been the other big things that pop into your mind that, you know, kind of vexed your thoughts over the last 5 years?
Well, I think it was about 5 years ago, wasn't it, that the Waiheke Marketplace was sold to Fairfax?
Yes.
We've talked a lot about media, haven't we? Yeah.
We have, yes. Well, it is always interesting to look at the way the newspapers are run on the island. The Gulf News, bless it, continues on its chosen path and does so very well. But we did lose that community feel from the marketplace, which, of course, I remember when that was first started up, because I was working at Rainbow Copy at the time when it was first being put together in the back shop there. And it had this wonderful sort of straightforward editorial policy of, "Oh, I say, isn't everything jolly wonderful?" And we get an editorial every single week from George Gardner to that effect, and it was rather nice. And so I thought the sale of the marketplace to Fairfax was, there's something of a loss for the island, because the marketplace always used to have something to contribute, and now it doesn't. It's just this rather boring advertising sheet that has no charm or style to it.
Yeah,
so that's something I think we've
talking
lost.
About contribution, they really did nothing with the election campaign, which would have been interesting to get a different viewpoint. Yeah.
Oh, well, speaking of which, I mean, we didn't get to talk about this last time, of course, because neither paper had emerged when we were on here talking about the election result. But I did find the marketplace's approach to it, that in a week which had seen one of the most dramatic
they
election
couldn't make
results,
the front page, yeah.
They were talking about parking spaces at Matiti on the front page. As I said at the time, if I wasn't laughing so hard, I'd have taken the time to find that fairly contemptible. But
no, well, that's the thing.
I think it's a measure of how unimportant the marketplace has become, and yeah. I think that's a bit of a shame.
There was an interesting valedictory article in the Gulf News 2 weeks ago by Martin Moore, a young journalist who did some sort of time here, internship. Well, he was being paid, but
he was rather good.
He was a very good writer, and his little valedictory piece I thought was great. He said, "Never lose your passion, Waiheke. You know, keep fussing about everything."
Yes, absolutely.
And what you're saying is the marketplace doesn't quite fuss as it should.
No, if there's a less passionate publication, I would hate to see it. Mm. It really has lost every last bit of heart and soul. Yeah. And I think
how do you harness passion in a positive way? You know, how do we continue in this community with passionate souls and not fly apart in some kind of entropy system where we all end up?
I think it's incredibly easy to do so. I mean, you only have to walk along the beach on a day like today,
and you'll chat,
and you find that you're caring for the place.
Yeah.
And whenever it looks threatened, you rise to the occasion.
Yeah, we certainly do. Remember all the people. We've seen in the past 5 years plenty of examples of protest, haven't we? The Faratana Bay one. And,
oh, yes.
And lovely. Yeah. So we should never lose that, hey?
Well, I mean, I went to Faratana Bay, but I felt I was very much wearing a press hat rather than a protester's hat. And it took me less than 5 minutes to be sitting on the foreshore,
on the protest,
linked arms, and being carried away by the constabulary. Yes, yeah. I just found that was something I couldn't really sit out.
I remember once describing the island as Protestistan. You know,
yes,
but you've got this favourite idea that the island should be a feudal kingdom. How does that idea still sit?
No, I don't like the idea of feudalism. That's horrible.
Didn't you say we need a king?
I think I was speaking more in terms of a principality.
Principality. So
I think a kingdom.
Nuance
is
right.
Yeah, I think it is all about nuance. A kingdom might be a little bit much.
Okay, principality.
A principality where we have some fairly room temperature IQ royal.
Yeah, I remember you said
someone who looks cute and can wave nicely and ask innocuous questions.
Be really interesting to go through the selection process for our first royal.
Yes, we wouldn't want them too articulate or intelligent. They
there's one waving through the windows.
No, I said we don't want anyone too intelligent or articulate.
She's too clever. This one,
Sharon Brown would be way too smart for the job. No. We need somebody a little less intelligent.
Well, there's plenty
job.
Of contenders there.
Exactly, yes.
Well, why couldn't we get some hand-me-downs from the British royal family? What if Prince Harry came in?
That would be absolutely splendid, yeah. But can you imagine the mess?
In what respect?
Well, you know, the morning after, all the empty beer bottles.
I can see Prince Harry slotting in quite well in Stony Ridge, wouldn't he?
He'd do fantastically here.
Yeah, there you go. We should invite him. The prince. We would offer him a principality.
Yes. I think that'd be a great idea.
Hmm.
All right.
I think that's got us all stunned. Yeah. How did we get to that one?
I remember, because, of course, in addition to it being the fifth birthday for the radio station, it's also, I noticed, the 40th birthday for the Gulf News.
Hmm.
And I remember 10 years ago they ran an essay competition, the subject of which was Waiheke in a further 30 years' time.
Oh, I remember.
And I thought, I'll put something in for this. And so I wrote exactly that, the idea that Waiheke was now a principality with its own government and its own public holidays and its own armed forces and so forth. And the whole thing was very sort of optimistic and light-hearted. And, of course, what I'd forgotten was that in New Zealand, if you want to be taken seriously as a writer, you have to be incredibly gloomy.
Yeah.
And so
it's the old black stuff, yeah, the noir.
Yeah. So I noticed that all the winning entries were utterly depressing and about people sort of sitting on tar-soaked beaches, slashing their wrists and stuff. Oh, God.
Yes, actually, you see it throughout New Zealand arts. The sort of cheerful satire is very underplayed in New Zealand arts. You know, I was about to say the exception that proves the rules is this Flight of the Conchords, but they couldn't get a break in New
Zealand.
They couldn't.
No, they couldn't.
Nobody wanted to hear from them.
Mind you, I was very impressed, and bravo to whoever did it, with the Waiheke Votes website that we've had over the last few months. I was absolutely flattered that somebody thought it was me doing it.
Oh, good. Take the credit.
No, well, I simply would not know how to do that level of graphics and the way it was all put together.
Well,
so
that brings
whoever you were that did that, very well done. Well, that was beautiful.
That
satire
brings up another interesting theme of the past few years in Waiheke is the mystery person. Like all of those wooden benches that pop up around the island, there's some mystery benefactor behind them who's paying for them. And then there was the mystery removal of the speed humps.
Ah, well, now that wasn't necessarily such a mystery. That who did that. Yeah. But that was a very exciting. That was more than 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was more than 5 years.
Well, you're talking about the Gulf News. You get a sense of perspective when you look at the 10 or 20 years ago column, and you think, I remember that.
Yes, I remember that one. Actually, speaking of speed bumps, that's quite a disgraceful thing to see that those terrible speed bumps they put in Surfdale have already been altered at God knows what cost.
Well, that's
what have they done to them?
They've
tried to calm them,
changed the shape of them. Apparently, they were a bit too abrupt for buses and emergency vehicles. And so, who knows what they paid to have the crew come in this week and strip off the sides of them and replace them. But why can't these things be done properly?
Well, that brings up the Esplanade. What's going to happen? What is the future of the Esplanade calming signage?
I would love to know the cost of remedial work on that. I mean, those calmers have been fixed and changed, you know, almost on a daily basis since it reopened.
I've been down there once since it reopened. And I found it such a strange experience.
It's stressful trying to align your car through those narrow hoops. It's not calming at all. But, you know, if the new board, bless them, decides to reverse that whole thing and uncalm the place or whatever, remove all the signs, there'll be a surfeit of signage. And that'll cost a bit as well.
Mm. So, actually, you know, we could actually do some serious opinion making for a moment. The new board will be sworn in on the 2nd of November and down in Ostend. And then they'll have their first, I think their first official meeting isn't until December.
5th of December, yeah.
But, you know, they have to select a chair.
Yeah, and there's some interesting moves there. Just to speak of the new board, I think their first few steps have been faultless. You know, the gracious thanks to Faye, you know, in a full-page ad, and their presence. I met a couple of them at the art gallery last night. Four of them pitched up at the start of the walking festival this morning. This is all before they're even formally on board. And they're walking tracks and doing things and researching.
One of them's outside.
Yeah, they're making a fantastic first start, I think, to be engaging and engaged and just nice to be around listening to you.
Yes, yeah. and you know, here's hoping that this is a board who are going to at least listen to a bit of political advice when it comes to, you know, how they handle themselves in public, how they make decisions, the way that they are perceived.
The only thing I can sort of vaguely predict about the makeup of the new board is I heard that they don't want the chair and the deputy chair to both be blokes or both be women. There'll be some kind of gender sharing there. And who knows? They might even go for a rotating chair. Who knows?
So a rotating chair? We've got a few of those here. Wheels on the bottom as well.
Yeah.
Well, there was some discussion of that, wasn't there? That the idea that the role of chairperson could be moved around between them. But there is the feeling that, you know, this is a job that you absolutely need to focus on. You can't keep changing it.
Yeah, it's pretty much a full-time job to be the chair. The other ones you can do it on the
evenings, your day job and get on with it.
Yeah.
Which would seem to indicate that John Mewson is a retired person is probably the best person for the job.
Well, you still wouldn't make a living out of being the chair.
No, it's not a great
But if you were if you were retired, then it's you've probably got a better shot of being able to bring all your energies to bear on it.
And if we look longer term, I think this board's got their 3 years to do good things, because I'm sure there'll be a swing, there'll be a regrouping from a more conservative element for the next election, I'm sure.
Will there? Or has that kind of side of the vote been so desperately damaged?
Well, I don't know. They'll come back.
By the result this time.
They'll come back. So we'll have to put a bottle of beer on that or something.
Well, possibly.
We'll be sitting there in a few years' time with our opinions. Remember how we were a little flabbergasted by the election result this time. So let's make a prediction. Will there be a... I think there will be a conservative, a much more concerted conservative campaign next time around.
But they still don't have the numbers. This has always been the problem. I mean, even with the last board, that sort of perceived conservative lean to it, they really only got in with between 20% and 30% of the vote.
Yeah.
And this idea that somehow that out there there's this right-leaning pro-development groundswell just waiting to happen, I think we've found out pretty firmly that this is not the case. What I was annoyed to see this week, though, was a letter into the marketplace from a former board supporter, and this attempt to make it look as if that wasn't really a complete debacle. The idea that, you know, we already discussed the idea that there was a perceived media bias, which we've already dismissed that as rubbish. But now there's this idea that, oh, well, you know, it really wasn't fair that the previous board were accused of things that weren't their fault and they were insulted and blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, rubbish. And if this is some kind of attempt to put some spin on what was a disastrous defeat for a board, then it needs to be questioned. Because otherwise we're going to have the undignified spectacle of Faye Storer running for election in 3 years' time. And I would prefer that that didn't happen. Yeah. I mean, there is a political career that needs to be dragged out, have a stake put through its heart, and buried very deeply. Yeah. So let's not have this any kind of revisionist stuff going on here to try and see that happen.
But the interesting hidden point in all of what you were saying there was stuff that you can't change. The new board will have to be interesting to see how the new board handles the marina proposal, because so much of that's in train. They won't, you know. The fact that it's already gone to the Environment Court means it's kind of out of their hands at this stage. So they might have to focus on other issues that they feel they can proactively affect rather than that one. That one's kind of bolted, hasn't it?
Well, at least this time round, we have a board that would at least represent the views of the community on it, rather than just looking the other way and going, oh, it's nothing to do with us. Yeah. We don't have that sort of power. Yeah. You have the power to say stuff, and at least I think this board will do that.
Yeah, well, that was my point all along. Advocacy doesn't cost anything. You can say what you want to say. Yeah.
Yeah, and and I suppose we'll see, and we'll continue to kind of to scrutinise how they do.
Yeah, we just got to watch ourselves from scrutinizing too closely. I mean, have we been kind of focusing deeply on our navels for the past 5 years? Or?
Well, yeah.
That's why I came to Waikiki.
That's what we're here for.
Contemplate my navel.
Love it. So we're the eccentricity central, we contemplate your navel central, and we don't want to develop ourselves too far.
That's right. And we're scruffy.
All of that could be neatly encapsulated in a principality.
Yes.
Yeah. And we'll just have to wait and see whether we get as many complaints about you two over the next 3 years as we have.
Well, I'd be very disappointed if we didn't.
Yeah, we need a goodly supply, because otherwise we're not doing our job as opinionated, are we?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, if there weren't complaints, then yes, we definitely need to raise our game a bit to make sure there were.
Yeah. Well,
do you see what we mean about community... about local board members, you can't avoid them these days.
And
have one of them wander in,
crawling all over the place, checking up on us. I've fended off a few complaints about you guys over the past few years, but that's all right.
Actually, this is the moment, Alan. We should thank Chris for a fantastic job. You know, I've It's been great fun talking to you on Saturday mornings, and I think you do a magnificent job of teasing issues out of us and being fair.
Yes, it's been brilliant.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I'm looking forward to the next 5 years.
Yes, we all are.
We should, at some point, when we have enough complaints piled up, we should run a special where we address them all.
Yes.
That would be fun, yeah.
There's been the odd moment over the past 5 years when I've had my hand hovering over the microphone.
Oh, right, you think one of us is going to say, you're going to push it that little bit too far.
Yeah. Mute button. We've never been muted, have we?
No, you've been bloody close.
Oh, I've seen a couple of panicked looks across your face.
I can reveal something now, because it's an 18-year-old story. I've been writing this column for the Golf News for about 18 years, and in my first year, the one and only time Liz Waters, the editor, rejected a column of mine, which is kind of relevant right now, I wrote a column bemoaning the lack of sexual scandal in New Zealand politics. I said it wasn't nearly exciting enough because we don't have enough sexual scandal. And she rejected that column on the grounds that it was a family publication. But it's kind of ironic that we're sitting in the middle of one now, right now. But no one really wants to get involved with it, do we?
It's become the whole Meryl thing that you're talking about, the Liam Brown and thing. It's just become quite sordid, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, Luigi has covered himself in sleaze very well, hasn't he?
Well, it's interesting that, more has rebounded on the people who raised the story in the first place. Yeah. And I was quite pleased to see that.
So, that's one thing we've never really addressed on Waiheke. We've never had a scandal of that nature to talk about.
Well, there was, of course, the Don Brash affair scandal, which of course was well known to the taxi drivers on the island, because Don Brash was in the habit of bringing his inamorata to the island taking a taxi up to Delamore Lodge, which has always, not that I ever have the money to go and stay at Delamore Lodge. But if I did, I'd find myself thinking, "Oh dear God, was this the room?
Was this the bed? Is this the nighty fire to a room?"
And it would spoil the whole thing for me.
I love that idea.
I think it would be very hard to have any kind of comfortable or romantic night if you thought this was the same room that Don Brash had been getting romantic in.
Well, it's the Island of Inamorata. What a lovely title. There'll be quite a few weddings out there today, I imagine, so we should wish all the brides of Labor Day weekend well.
Never mind them. I wish well to the people who have to put up with the bloody people. Bridezillas, they're called. This is why I'm very glad, of course, that I work at a hospitality place where we don't do weddings.
Okay.
There's always been a very conscious decision right from the word go. We do not do weddings.
But the brewery
stag and hen parties.
Yeah,
yes.
I've got to say, the brewery does a lot of pre-wedding.
Oh
stuff.
Yes, we do plenty of that stuff. But you can fit that in amongst your other business.
Well, the big thing about it,
and I very often I get called in to do brewery tours and stuff for stag groups in particular. The most undignified of which, I believe, was the guy in the Borat lime green mankini. He was so falling down drunk, though, that fortunately I didn't have to actually take them on a tour. That was scrubbed. But the best one last year was a group who came in dressed as the royal family, with the stag as the queen in the sort of the twin set and the grey hair, and three inflatable corgis on a lead. Okay. They were hilarious. Well, but the nice thing, as I say, is we don't actually have to deal with weddings, which are one of the most stressful things that the hospitality industry can deal with. How Mudbrick put up with them.
Yeah. Well, they should get a
day
prize.
Day in, day out, of all these horrible, horrible people coming.
That's a huge industry on the island, isn't it?
Is, yeah. Well, there was that whole expo last weekend.
It'd be interesting to know how many people the wedding industry brings to the island. Does it bring more than the wine industry?
Yeah, well,
probably.
I mean, maybe when the local board develop their plan, as well as kind of arts, culture, democracy, and well-being, we'll have weddings in there as well.
Yes. I tell you what, the local board needs to develop their plan is a basic number. For many years, Fuller's has refused to reveal the exact number of people that bums on seats they have. They cite that it's commercially sensitive, and it's always struck me as odd that they can withhold that information, because those bums on seats are subsidised in their, the fares are subsidised.
No, not the Waiheke run. No,
no,
No.
There's no subsidy on fares out to the island.
No.
Oh, well, then Fullers can sit on their numbers.
They do actually entirely own them, so there's not a lot we can do about it.
Maybe I was thinking of the old the gold card. They subsidised.
Well, that one is, yeah.
Yes, but I mean, that's only a proportion of, their bums on seats.
So it'd be interesting to know. If the board could find out what the base number of visitors are, then we can plan. Yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
That's a bit serious.
Yes. There's certainly a lot of people on the island today.
Mm. Yeah, well, good on them. Bridezillas included.
Yes. So, so 5 years of opinions, and as you say, let's look forward to five years more of them.
So, folks, if you've got any complaints, keep your crayons sharpened.
Yes. And one day we'll publish a book.
Yes, that'd be great.
Yeah. So, Opinionated Islanders, Alan Knight and Alex Stone, usually with us on the first Saturday of the month. It's the last Saturday of the month, but it's the way it rolls. Thank you very much for joining us.
No problem.
Thank you for having us.
And they'll be back with us in a month or so's time.
Wakey Radio.
And now we've got something very special. We're joined by Katie Soljak. She's here in the studio with us. How are you, Katie?
Great, thank you.
And this weekend is also the launch of your new album.
That is right. It went live on Friday onto iTunes. Yeah. And we're releasing it at the King's Arms on Sunday.
But this is a new album, but an old album, isn't it?
Yes, it's 20 years old and in recording, but I haven't released it till now.
So why have you sat on it for so long?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. It's so funny because hardly anybody's asked me why. But, I was just a bit at odds with the title track. It had, because it had a few swear words in it, but it was as part of the poetry. And I was teaching school in Los Angeles at the time, and I just actually couldn't. I just couldn't put it out. And then it took me 20 years for a Raglan DJ, Johnny Cole, said, well, if you just drop that one verse out, it's totally radio-friendly, the whole, and I basically shelved it. And he was right. And so I thought, well, actually, I could release it now. So I didn't think of that so long ago. I don't know.
Excellent. So it must be nice to see just finally have it out in the light of day.
It is. It's very exciting when it goes onto iTunes because it's live around the world.
But has it been odd? Your music career has continued and developed over those 20 years.
Oh, yes.
And what you're playing now and, the way you go about your craft now, I presume is very different from what it was 20 years ago.
Yes, in some ways. But I'm still writing and things, but the style's probably changed a bit. This is different from my regular blues album, yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't an uncomfortable feeling. Sometimes, it's like you're looking at the Teenage Diary and you go, oh, dear.
No, I'm quite proud of the work. Excellent. That's why I didn't only drop that one verse out. The rest is exactly how we recorded it. I mean, that's the original recording and artwork from 1993.
Wow, good stuff. And you're going to play us a couple of tunes from it today.
Yes, we are, actually. I've got my lovely singing partner, Katarina, here. She's come all the way over from overseas in Auckland and missed the 10 o'clock version. So much congestion down there at the moment, apparently. She sang with me about 10 years ago a lot, and now she's part of this new project the band that's doing the songs from the album.
Yeah.
And so this is the first, yeah.
So we'll get you to come around here.
She's
going to come.
She's got a ukulele and a lovely singing voice. And we're going to do the first song off the album, which is called Safe Zone. Follow the angel, beckoning high above the howl of the night crawlers and the stink of the alley, and take my arm, dear one. Look, we have found her, Maria Estrada de Marie, and look, Jesus and Moses are talking, and statue of Maria is weeping, praying for peace, weeping for the world. White flowers adorn her. Here, sit on the stone bench and let the secrets of the silence whisper in your maiden soft hair, my dear one. stood open to all who came, soul broken and grieving hearts, all who came. And fear the dry leaves crackling in your wake. Oh, they might think we're working, you say. Oh, the streets are a sly and hungry tiger. Watch it doesn't grab you and take you down. Sit with me here, child, and close your eyes. This is the safe zone.
Fantastic stuff. There's live music here in our studio and 4 Karora Road. Brilliant. There's Katie Soljak and the opening number, is it, Katie, from the new album?
It's the first track. It's called Safe Zone, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. That's good. And we should say as well that the album is now out and available for sale. So, you know, if you get along here now, Katie's here and she can sell you a copy.
I'll sign one for you, actually.
Yeah, signed copies. And
also they're at Island's gift store.
Excellent.
And iTunes.
Excellent.
Worldwide.
Yeah, so it's gone digital. It's good stuff. And I believe you're going to play us another song.
Yes, and if they come to the Stefano's gig or the King's Arms gig, it's $20 and it includes a CD.
Oh, that's a great
just
deal.
Ridiculous.
It is.
God,
it
what
is.
Was I thinking?
Yes.
I was in a generous mood. Now, this one is actually Brendan's favourite. Hello, Brendan. I'm going to do Old Wooden Radio live. About 5, I think. Why? Grab your guitar. This is a song I wrote to my dad on Father's Day 20 years ago. An odd-shaped jar. And that old wooden radio.
That singer for you, Father. Who are she? Rides to Waimarama on Sundays in the roar of the ocean. We like that about you. Watched as you ride the surf, seeing it made far out to the line where the sky meets the sea, and you weren't dad anymore, you were a daughter, I'm alive. And back you come with fish for all. One time you caught a baby shark and sliced it open on the warm sand. You weren't dad anymore. You weren't dad anymore. You were Tarzan. Scotch, is it good scotch? I hope it's good scotch, Dad. I hope it's good scotch you're wasting all our money on. All our money on. I hope it's good scotch, Dad. And you were too out of it the other day to talk to. To tell you I can sing good now. Wanted to tell you I remember all the good times. Whenever I smell some fresh cut grass or Old Spice cologne, I think about you. I think about you. I think about you. And I wonder how much longer you'll be around.
Oh, I have to say, Katie, I've always loved that song. So it's a real pleasure to have you play it here live with us in the studio. Fantastic stuff.
Thanks for asking us.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you coming in and playing, and you too, Katarina. Fantastic. So, yeah, so do pop along and grab a CD or get along to Stefano's. I think that's going to be a really nice place to see those songs.
Yes, and they have a bit of a stage there. And come to the King's Arms gig, everybody, because you get five bands, and there's the Road Warriors as well, Swampland, and Bernie Griffin and the Flaming Pearls, these Americana bands, and Silke Hartung, who does Freak the Sheep, she's doing the opening spot. So that'll be a lot of fun tomorrow also.
Excellent, yeah.
And you don't have to worry about it because Monday's a holiday.
Yeah, good stuff.
No, so thanks a lot.
A great gig. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirowa.